So it is very important then to think of a policy as a hypothesis that connects different components, and then to be systematic in how we think about these components, to have a model that represents our policy. This slide shows a different kind of model, not in an input-output way. This is a model to represent, to go back to the third study of civic education, to represent how is it that an education system, that is school, might help students develop the kind of knowledge and dispositions that would make them effective democratic citizens, engaged democratic citizens. And I have represented in this model essentially six environments which are nested within each other. At the core of those environments, as number six, are frequent and daily opportunities for students to learn at high levels all subjects, not particularly civic instruction. It's very important to be able to learn to read and to understand math and science to be an engaged citizen. Frequent daily opportunities to be able to think on your own, not to be given instructions and directions, but to be given opportunities to exercise your judgment. Daily and frequent opportunities to make choices, whether these are choices as to which book you would want to read in a half an hour of free reading instruction, choices about the kind of project that you would want to work on in a science class or in a math class, and frequent and daily opportunities to practice tolerance, the acceptance of those who make different choices, who are different than we are, and the skills and the dispositions to see those differences as a source of strength, as something that enriches our understandings. So this needs to happen on a frequent basis. It's not that students should be told that these things are important, is they should leave them in their daily experiences in the classroom. Now, that context is embedded in a curriculum for democratic citizenship. As we saw in the chart we saw a moment ago from the third civic education study, that curriculum can include a particular course. It can be infused in different courses. It can include things like classroom climate and how the classroom is managed. It can include processes like having a student government where the students have a voice to discuss some matters that have consequence for them in their school. It can include the kinds of interactions that students have with the community of which the school is a part. It can include the way in which adults relate to students in that school, or the ways in which the adults in the school relate to each other. The teachers relate to each other, and the principals relate to each other. The school can talk all it wants about gender equity and the importance of gender equity, but if the climate of the school is one where girls experience sexual harassment or discrimination, that is going to be a much more powerful moral lesson than anything the teachers may say. Or if the climate of the school is one where the principal harasses female teachers, that is going to send very powerful moral lessons to the students. So those daily experiences are guided, are normed by a curriculum, which is in turn embedded in teachers who are well prepared, well educated to themselves, value diversity, to be tolerant, who can model democratic practices, and who are obviously capable to teach the subjects for which they are tasked and accountable and responsible. A teacher who misses class once a week is teaching a very powerful lesson to their students about responsibility, no matter what they say. That, in turn, is embedded in how schools are governed. And if you remember one of the early charts that I showed in this lecture that represented an education system as the connection between purposes of schools, context, and the relationship between purpose and context, pedagogy and governance, this third dimension, the connection between schools and communities, is a very powerful driver of democratic education. Those, in turn, are embedded in whether the school itself has a democratic culture. And lastly, all of that is embedded into policies and a series of cultural norms that expect and that commit to educating all students at high levels. So this is a way to represent an idea. And the idea is that if you want to produce democratic citizens, competent democratic citizens, you have to do not one or two things. You have to do several things that are interdependent. You have to, in effect, construct a system. Now, what is the advantage of representing that system either with words in a narrative or with a diagram, as the slide in front of you does? The advantage is that it can help you discipline your thinking, share it with others, enrich this diagram, develop indicators to monitor how you're doing, and formulate a logic theory for a policy. And out of a clear logic theory, you can then design specific programs where it'll be obvious whether what you need to do is to create a program that would generalize student governance in the school or create a particular subject of instruction for civic education. And there is not a universal answer to whether you should do one or the other. It depends on the particular context in which you're trying to develop this policy.